Giggity giggity, we're a couple of Griffin guys, and this is the 69th Family Guy Podcast.
Griffin cries.
He's a family guy.
That's right. We're the podcast that discusses the hit Seth MacFarlane animated sitcom Family Guy. But not from the beginning, no, but from seasons 11 and beyond. Why 11 and beyond, you ask? Well, the word on the street is that seasons 1 through 10 have been discussed enough in the podcast universe. But we're here to discuss those later seasons to see if there's any episodes out there that can hold up to those classic first 10 seasons. But I can't do this alone. I'm half a Griffin guy, Craig, and with me is my other Griffin guy,
Steve. Hey, I heard a different word on that street.
Oh yeah? What word? Wow, I can't believe Steve just birded me.
You got feathered.
Oh, man. Next time, I'm going to get you with a great chicken fight.
Oh, boy. I'm sure it'll be succinct and funny.
Oh, right. Well, hey, Steve, this joke's done.
I think that all jokes should do that. Like, joke over.
Yeah, didn't we say that like last week?
I think so, yeah.
Well, this only works for people that actually are listening, I guess, on April 1st when this episode drops.
April Fools, you assholes.
Yeah, there, I put all production into that stupid bit. Sorry, I hate April Fool's Day, by the way.
Me too, it's stupid.
Especially in the year of COVID, or second year. I think it was definitely canceled last year.
Yeah, and it should just be canceled all together.
Canceled all together. I remember actually talking about, because I saw when this, like a year ago, I said, hey, we're going to have an episode that like drops on April Fool's. And we said, like, let's do an actual episode of just Family Guy. Like, no, like, you know, like how we do these podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Then we decided that we'd have to watch the Family Guy episode.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense for the context of the April Fool's joke unless you actually listen to this podcast on April Fool's Day, but this is more like not appointment podcast. You just listen to. Yeah.
Whenever you get a chance.
If we were a daily podcast, then maybe it'd be different.
Daily podcast, doing this every day. Oh my God.
Yeah, just talk about The Simpsons every day.
You know what's funny is like 12-year-old me, like, yeah, that's cool.
The 32-year-old would still think that'd be cool.
True that, yeah. But now here we are.
Do we do a proper introduction again? We're actually the Simpsons podcast called The 103th. But the rules are the same with the Family Guy joke there with the seasons 11 and beyond. Sorry for the dumb bit, but let's move on.
Yeah.
How have you been this week, Steve?
I'm doing well. I'm happy to say that I have my first vaccine shot scheduled.
Because you're a podcaster.
That's right. We are essential workers. And where what would you do without us, people? So I truly am America's hero.
Yeah. Why isn't there parades in our honor?
That's right.
I also hate parades. So
yeah.
Two things. April Fool's Day, parades. Let's see, what else holidays do I hate?
Not crazy about St. Patrick's Day.
It's amateur hour, right?
Yeah.
I'm never a fan of New Year's Eve. God, no.
Oh, I feel like those trees are getting a little big headed. So Arbor Day can fuck right off, too. Yeah.
Labor Day is still pretty cool, you know, but I always just want to wear white afterwards.
I know. And it's unfortunate that all those pregnant women have to have a baby that day.
Well, congratulations on getting your shot. I guess I'll wait till like May 1st. Like a chump.
Well, hopefully you can get it sooner than that.
Yeah, I'm sure I could if I wanted to.
Yeah, just the moral of the story is get it if you can.
But let's get at it this week. Steve, let's talk about the year 2021.
Oh,
the date,
wow.
March 21st.
That feels like so long ago.
I think it was last week, Steve.
Yeah, but what were we all watching in the theaters or not?
Well, some theaters are open. For instance, I mean, you could have watched this in the theater, or you could have watched it on your Disney Plus with an additional $30. It was Raya and the Last Dragon, starring Kelly Marie Tran.
Yes.
Steve, did you pay $30 to watch it on your Disney Plus?
I did not.
Me either. And I don't think it's for us, right?
No.
For adults who don't watch cartoons.
That's right.
It is a cartoon, right?
It is. I think it's a CGI type of thing. Yeah, I the model of Disney with releasing movies that are $30, I get the logic. Like, if you were to go to the theater with your family and buy popcorn and everything.
It's way cheaper.
Right. But I don't have a family, and I can make my own popcorn.
Yeah.
So I don't need to spend $30 to see this.
I will pay $30 to see Black Widow when it premieres, though.
That's fair.
All right. Steve, what were we bopping to last week?
Well, the number one song on the Billboard Hot 100 was What's Next by Drake.
Yeah. I'm making a change today. The liquor been taking the pain away. I heard you was giving your chain away. That's kind of like giving your fame away. What's wrong with you? I sit in a box where the owners do. A boss is a role that I've grown into. I love you to death, but I told you the truth. I can't just be with you. I'm only you.
All right, Drake.
Drake is there, yeah.
I'll always remember him as Degrassi, The Next Generation.
Jimmy, yeah.
Jimmy, yeah.
He got shot.
He got shot and couldn't play basketball and was in a wheelchair.
That's right.
Who was the one that actually got shot on that show and died? Not in real life on the show. It was like one of the main kids. TJ or JT. JT was the Swarky kid.
Yeah.
That's kind of like when I stopped watching, man. It was too intense for me.
Too much, yeah.
Enough of Degrassi. Let's watch The Simpsons. Steve, what are we watching?
We are watching Major Things, the 16th episode of the 32nd season. It also happens to be the 700th episode
of
The Simpsons. And in that, a secret from Flanders' past is revealed. And a never-before-seen room in The Simpsons' home, we also find.
That's scary.
Yeah.
How about this plan of ours?
Mm-hmm.
Is we watch it and then come back and talk about it.
Oh, crazy, but I think that just might work. We'll be right back.
Well, summer all I did was rest, okay? And New Year's all I did was stretch, okay? And Valentine's Day I had sex, okay? We'll see what's about to happen next, okay?
And we're back. Today we're talking about Major Things, the 16th episode of the 32nd season. It originally aired on March 21st, 2021. It's episode 700 in the show's run. Your nerd code is QABFO9. It was written by Rob Lezebnik, directed by Stephen Dean Moore, and your showrunner is Al Jean.
Wow, I can't believe we got to 700 episodes, Steve.
Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, not for this podcast, though. Yeah. Oh. We should have saved this episode to our 700. Oh, God.
Do you think we'll reach that point where we catch up? And so it's like episode 900, and we're like, okay, here we go.
I mean, no.
Okay. Because I was going to say, if you wanted to, we could record every day until we catch up.
Yeah. I might have to pass.
Oh, perfect. Fine.
I can't predict the future. I'm surprised we even got this far doing this podcast.
I completely agree.
Whatever episode, 115 or 14 we've done?
Yeah, we'll call this one 114.
Sure. Well, if the Simpsons can do it, we can do it.
That's right. Here we go.
Steve, the episode.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a reference to the TV show Stranger Things.
Oh, you're right. That's crazy.
Do you think we'll ever get to go back to the Upside Down? It's been a while.
Been a while. Maybe.
All the kids about 45 now.
Yeah.
I think they're filming. I think they must have filmed. I mean, unless COVID probably delayed it a little bit.
Yeah, but I'm sure they probably were already working on the season, so they're probably coming back soon.
I feel like this should probably be the last season, right?
Yeah, I don't know that you can get much more.
I mean, I enjoy the show, but I think each season keeps the quality, not being bad, but like it's not as excited as that first season.
Yeah, it's definitely trying to rekindle that high of the first season to varying success.
I think this will be the last season, or they'll maybe like do one more, and then maybe like 10 years later, there'll be a reunion. Like it'll be in the 90s. Or maybe it could be set now. Make it like It, you know, there's kids, and then season 5 could be the adults.
Yeah, and maybe the Gorgon can be in the 90s and have like a high fade.
Maybe
like hammer pants.
He'll be a cast member on Friends.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Although he isn't white, so never mind.
Good point.
Or why are we talking about Stranger Things? Are we supposed to talk about The Simpsons?
Oh yeah, so we have a title screen, and below the title of The Simpsons, the text reads 700th episode. So here we are, 700. Yeah,
they've done that with the milestones. I'll just put it under like, all right, here's your celebration.
Mm-hmm. Celebrate good times. Come on.
Yeah. Well, we have a long couch gag. I mean, it's not as long as what last week's or the week before with Robot Chicken one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So this one's done by artist from Portland, animation artist from Portland, Bill Plimpton.
Mm-hmm.
It's his seventh couch gag, Steve, that he's done.
Wow. I'm surprised that this is the first that we've gotten to so far.
Yeah. Also, seventh hundred. He's from Portland. Matt's from Portland.
We're from Portland.
Bill, are you on the show?
No. So maybe.
So Bill Plimpton, he's what, related to Martha Plimpton?
No. I think so, yeah.
Well, you know what's funny is I think Martha Plimpton's mom is from Oregon because her dad is Keith Carradine. Her mom was Shelley Plimpton. And yeah, she was from Roseburg, Oregon. The wow. Plimptons. I mean, they spelled Plimptons differently.
Yeah.
But the Plimptons are from Oregon.
Whoa. The Plimptons.
Who's that other Plimpton? Bill Plimpton? Is there a Bill Plimpton? Or am I thinking of Bill Clinton?
I mean, there's Bill Plimpton, the one that we're talking about right now.
No, I meant George Plimpton.
Oh, and the P-Funk All-Stars?
Yeah. No, George.
No, Plimpton. Yeah, no, it's the American journalist.
Yeah.
Actually doing the voice of that, that's actually what I was thinking of.
Didn't George Plimpton do an appearance on The Simpsons?
Sure did.
No, that's right. The spelling one. Is he wearing a hot plate?
Exactly.
Oh, that's actually from what? Season 12. We haven't done that one yet. Actually, I'm looking forward to that one. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, God, that couch gag. Sorry, guys. Jeez. Anyway, so it's Plimpton is doing a rendition of Homer using his trademark flowing colored pencil style while percussive jazz plays. And the two hairs on Homer's head, they become antennae. And they flow into the air, and Bart and Maggie float in from Homer's ears. And we see Lisa then forms from Homer's left eye while Marge seeps out of his nose. And the family floats around Homer's head as his remaining eye rotates around and around. And the family finally stops behind the head, and the body of Homer forms from the eyeball. And then the head opens up to the classic living room while Homer's muzzle becomes the sofa, and the family finally sits down. Homer and Marge are trading places, and then Bill's signature is shown in the bottom right corner. Wow.
Yeah.
Y'all get it there?
I think that, you know, it's hard to describe it in words because it is a beautiful artistic scene, but it sounds a little crazy when you say it.
It's very crazy, Steve. So crazy.
Whoa. Also, a bit of a blunder.
Uh-oh.
Marge has white pearls instead of red ones.
Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
Well, hopefully Bill Plimpton never comes back again, because that's a mistake that we cannot forgive.
And a hot plate.
So let's start our episode with some Yuletide joy, because this 700th episode is airing in March.
I know it's a Christmas episode, spoilers, but I think it makes sense making the 700th episode a Christmas one, just to, you know, the first episode's a Christmas episode, right?
Yeah, that makes sense, I guess.
But it is weird having a Christmas episode in March.
Oh, well. So we begin our episode, and Christmas lights are hung, presumably with care, on the house at 742 Evergreen Terrace. El Barto is written in snow on the roof. Inside, the Simpson family are decorating a Christmas tree in front of the fire. Their stockings are hung above the mantle, with Lisa's being a modest sweat sock, while Maggie's is a paper bag with baby written on it. Although she shouldn't be born yet.
Yeah, that... No, wait.
If it takes place 6 years ago...
No, no.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right.
It's the current age, yeah.
This is not pre-flashback. Sorry, I almost got lost in there. So Maggie takes an ornament from the tree, removes the hook, and uses the ornament as a pacifier. Homer corrects his youngest daughter, saying that it's a deadly glass ball and that they hang where babies can get to it. Maggie then stuffs the orb into the mouth of Snowball 2, who swallows it, and then vomits a sparkling hairball, which impresses all the children and makes me a little stressed out as a cat owner. Homer then hangs the puked up ball on the tree.
Do you not want to feed your cat glass ornaments?
No. Huh. It's bad enough when we used to have, like, what is that stuff called? The silver sparkly bullshit?
Like garland?
Yeah. No, and then a cat would eat it, and then shit, and it'd be all sparkly.
I forbid that. Tinsel.
Yeah, tinsel. That. Yeah, we haven't had that in years.
I forbid tinsel on the tree.
Mm-hmm. Such a pain in the ass to clean up, too.
Yeah, it's silly. All right, well, Bart notices another shiny ornament, Steve.
Ooh.
Well, I guess it's not that shiny, but it's just a tiny handprint below that says Todd's First Christmas.
What?
Maybe they're thinking, maybe it's Todd Glass?
Yeah. Todd McFarlane, comic Todd book artist?
Todd Bridges?
Yep, those are the three Todds.
That's the name of our band in high school, the Three Todds.
That's right.
Anyways, but it's Todd Flanders, though, you see.
Huh.
But how did that get on the Simpsons? Yeah, how did they get on the Simpsons a Christmas tree, Steve. How did it get there?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, after all, Christmas is no time to think about your neighbors.
No.
Bart says no. Marge offers some insight to the ornament.
It's a very interesting story. A Christmas story of failing and redemption.
Isn't that every Christmas story?
A Christmas story of your father's failing and redemption.
Isn't that every Homer story?
This one also has a secret room, and it's set 6 years in the past.
Oh, thank God it's not the horrible present.
What year did it happen?
Oh, you know the year. The Oscar went to an overrated movie that nobody remembers, Tom Brady won the Super Bowl, and a public figure had to apologize for saying something stupid.
Oh, that one.
That year.
Oh, yeah, remember it well.
Okay, so Homer and I were going to the office Christmas party.
I had just lost my last adult tooth, which they say is worth thousands.
Grandpa, this is my story.
Fine.
We were getting ready. Listen, before we go, I want to ask you a favor. Don't drink at the office party.
But then it just becomes a meeting.
I love the reference of what year is this? And then just, you know, the celebrity that said something wrong and
the overrated movie that nobody saw.
Yeah, because that joke will work great no matter what year you watch this. I know the Oscars were just announced, but I think this is like one of the first times, like, I don't even think I'll watch.
Yeah, just seems really weird.
Because usually what we'll do is like we'll turn on like those award shows and like maybe play like a board game.
Mm-hmm.
Just to have it on and then drink and be like, oh, okay. But I didn't even watch. Yeah. Did I watch the Golden Globes? I don't even remember. But it's like, especially this year, like the movies, right? Like, I don't know any of them. And yeah, sure, they're probably great. I don't want to watch anything real.
Yeah, I hear you. And just for a quick reference, in 2015, which is 6 years ago, the Oscar for Best Picture was Birdman or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance, which some may call an overrated movie.
I will call it an overrated movie. I don't know what the whole... I was like, yeah, it's fine, but I don't know. I liked him better as Batman and the Vulture.
Wow, he's got a thing for winged characters. Yeah.
What was the celebrity controversy of 2015? I'm trying to think. I mean, there had to have been. Do I just Google celebrity controversy?
2015, yeah.
Biggest celebrity scandals. This is from Us Weekly. Zendaya and the fashion police. At least I don't know what that means. What's a Zendaya? No, I know that.
Zendaya has been, yeah.
Rachel Dolezal. She's white, but she said she was black.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd call her a celebrity though.
Yeah, Scott Dixick. I don't know who that is.
Oh, he's I think an ex husband or maybe husband of one of the Kardashians.
Yeah, so something about that. I'm not going to read the paragraph. Tom Brady, the Patriots. Oh, is that Deflate Ball?
That could be Deflate Ball.
Donald Trump.
Flash
fan. Josh Duggar, 16 kids and 19 kids of counting. Oh, molested. Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ariana Grande with like, she had to be like lifted, or she went to a donut shop and licked all the donuts or something.
Yeah.
Ooh, Brian Williams, he said he was in, that was the
oh,
big
one. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Brian. A big one, yeah.
Oh, Bill Cosby.
All right. I mean, he's so good at what he does. I mean, being horrible. I don't think we can dedicate 1 year for him.
Brian Williams?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we'll go with the Brian Williams one.
Yeah.
When was the Weinstein thing?
That was like 2016, I think.
But that's also like an ongoing thing too.
Yeah.
All right. Right now, we'll timestamp this. What, Thomas Middleditch is the biggest one right now?
For now, yeah. I don't.
I've edited this podcast and released it, there'll be someone else.
Yeah, it'll be like Thomas Hayden Church.
Like, no, wait, Martin Starr or Zach Woods.
That's
or
right.
Kamel Nanjiani.
What did he do to that cake on his cheat day?
All of those Silicon Valley guys.
Yeah. We had that clip there, and Marge doesn't want Homer to drink.
How about the hair?
Yeah, Homer has some hair.
It's a new design. We haven't seen him kind of with that hairstyle.
Yeah, it's kind of like a more of a comb over type situation. Yeah.
He just looks like 1980s pervert. To me,
kind of, yeah. He looks a little bit like Stephen Tobolowsky from Groundhog's Day.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's also because he's wearing a trench coat. And
Marge, her hair's not as big.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a little different hair. You know, we see what's his name coming up, the Flanders guy.
Todd.
Yeah, he's got his mustaches and his long.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. And then Todd's hair. Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, just everyone looks a little bit younger.
Yeah. All right.
So Marge goes on to tell Homer that she doesn't want him to embarrass himself at work. So defeated, Homer says that he'll only drink soda. Marge offers that water is healthier, but as Homer points out in Springfield, that may not be the case. Homer then turns on the kitchen faucet, and out comes a blast of flames. Homer yells at the kids to grab the hot dogs, ensuring their safety, as it is, in fact, natural gas.
It'd be kind of convenient to have a faucet that just shoots fire out, right?
Totally.
That'd scare the shit out of me if that actually happened.
Oh my God, yeah.
Or like, what if, hope they don't have a bidet. That would really suck. So they go to the nuclear power plant for their Christmas party or holiday party. Not sure what they're calling it. But it's underway with a giant candy canes in the cooling tower. There's a man in his underpants and Santa hat swinging from the ceiling. Drinks are being shared. Two men gazing lovingly at each other while toasting some champagne with gloves through the safety glass. Sure hope they don't try to punch each other later. And a man making out with a stuffed bear. Yes, that is Steve.
That's right. 6 years ago, I had lustrous, curly black hair. And in some places, I still do.
So Homer and Marge step into the party, and Homer immediately downs some Buzz Cola. Then we're met by Lenny, who is clearly enjoying a beverage that's a little bit stronger than soda.
Marge. When will you ever settle down?
What the?
Hey, Marge. Want to rub shoulders?
Cover yourself up and quit hitting on my wife.
Oh, so now she's your wife.
I've never been at a party where I'm sober and everyone else is drunk. This is a nightmare.
I know how you feel, pal. I haven't had a drink in 4 years.
You're so boring.
He's right. I am boring.
We should give Homer a little help enjoying the party.
Mm-hmm. Lenny there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first off, Lenny's a real creep in this episode.
Yeah, totally.
The animation or the character designs in this are so good. Like, he looks younger, even though they just maybe made his hair a little bit longer.
Yeah, it took me a moment to realize what was different about him, because he does look younger, but it's hard to say why.
Yeah, I think it's just the hair, really.
Yeah, I think so, because looking at a model of him now, it's pretty much the same. Yeah, just slightly longer hair.
Good job. Also, is his shirt just really dusty and he opens up his suspenders, or
is he, I don't know, been out in the sun and his shirt got a tan?
Yeah. Huh. And then the boring guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, he looks familiar,
right?
And I'm like, he's hiding behind a punch bowl. I'm like, oh, I think I know who it is.
Yeah.
It's got to be the big hand guy.
I was so excited to see him again.
And it's not. I mean, it could be, but it could be pre-big hand.
Also, I don't know if this is a symptom of drinking, and I feel like if it was, I would have known by now. But maybe big handism is caused by alcoholism, and because he hasn't had a drink in 4 years, his hand went back to normal size.
I'm just thinking maybe it's like the tonic that Ken Griffey Jr. was drinking.
Oh, that's a good point.
Made his head big. Maybe he had that. I thought they were just going to give the origin of the big hand guy. Like, he's drunk. Maybe it's in the background and we didn't see it. Like, he puts his hand in, his bare hand in a reactor and it pulls it out and it's big. Like, that they could have done that when everyone's wasted, because he's going to be drunk like everyone else.
Right.
Maybe it's a deleted scene.
Yeah, because we do see more of him in a moment. But as a mustachioed Carl and a drunken Lenny with nice long hair, as you mentioned, spike Homer's soda pop, we see that the bald boring man is skateboarding in the rafters above, still with normal sized hands. But he does have an empty whiskey bottle in one of those normal sized hands. Marge asks who's running the power plant whilst everyone parties. And Lenny states that they have a dog who barks whenever a light goes red.
Have you ever had to be the sober one at a party, or chose to be, or...
No.
Have you ever been to a party?
Not in a long time.
That's good. I was in Florida this weekend, so.
Oh, fun, yeah.
There's a shoulder-to-shoulder partying.
Mm-hmm. You went to a...
You know, yeah.
The Beastie Boys, you know, they can get a lot of people in trouble, because, like, there are people in Florida who are literally fighting for their right to party, and they're going to die.
But all they want is girls.
In the morning, it's girls. In the evening, it's girls. Even at supper time.
When girls are on a bagel, you can have girls anytime.
Brass monkey.
Oh, wait. I thought we were singing the pizza bagel song.
I know. I just.
Oh, yeah. I sure hope no one sabotages their plans.
Yeah. and that they're not from another place, like they're not intergalactic.
Oh, that is the only one I was going to think of. All right. Well, I think it's cute, you know, that puppy at the workstation.
Mm-hmm.
And we get the POV of the puppy. And we see the lights are shades of gray because that's, you know, dogs see black and white.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they figure that out. I know it's science, but like, do they just like poke out?
Ask them.
Yeah. Okay, it's two things. They ask the dog or they poke out a human's eye and then put the dog's eye and install it.
Yeah, it's a two-step process.
Yeah, it's simple. Well, I mean, you know, you pull out the eyeball, you cut mm-hmm. it, and then you tie the other end and plop it back into your eye socket. Simple.
Yeah.
Use a stapler, use some Gorilla Glue. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, you can use a lighter to like singe it together.
Yeah. Let's try it right now, Steve. I know we don't have dogs, but we have cats.
All right. Milo.
So since there's like a red light, the dog's unaware of the predicament it's in. So the dog just, you know, lets out a yawn and curls up for a nice, nice holiday nap there.
That's right. But while the party, the dog sleeps, the debauchery of the party grows as people spray paint safety signs, including one woman turning a nuclear sign into a smiley face. And then Homer takes a big swig of his alcohol-laced cola and immediately feels its effects. Monty Burns, in a Santa costume, comments that it feels good to get close to his workers once a year. And we then see that he and Smithers are high above the rafters, away from the rest of the employees.
Yeah, they're drunk.
They're drunk. It's a mess.
There's a bolt that ricochets from the rafters.
I like that joke just because it's not for anything.
Yeah.
We don't know why there's a bullet.
And so Burns tells Smithers that he had begun watching It's a Wonderful Life and how he relates to the conniving evil banker who ruins Christmas Eve. And Monty assumes that the film ends happily ever after with Jimmy Stewart's suicide. The aged tycoon then introduces some modern music, which turns out to be just some carolers. So a suited up security guards, they make it rain by shooting singles from dollar bill guns. And a Homer is doing some improv singing from those Christmas tunes.
He's a mean old crocodile, worse than Jokic by a mile. I can't wait till Birdsey dies, watching vultures eat his eyes.
Not so fast. Release the hounds. On Slasher, on Gasher, on Mangy and Nipson, on Stalker, on Vicious, on Rabbit and Ripsom.
The celebration takes a turn for the worse as the crowd begins to scream. The two men behind the safety glass that were lovingly looking at each other before are now not striking blows of glasses, but now they're exchanging blows of fists. The dog flips over a table, which causes an ice sculpture of a bust of Monty to careen out of the plant, past the guards in the gate, who confuses the water for Mr. Burns, and into downtown where it passes the Aztec Theater, which coincidentally enough is showing a double feature of Frozen and the Ice Storm. Weird combo.
Yeah.
And then the melted head lands in front of Springfield Elementary, where it is crushed by a groundskeeper Willie, who calls for it to die and to cool his whiskey.
So the double feature, we have Frozen, which is the animated film from, 2013?
Yeah.
You know, kids movie. And then The Ice Storm, which is a 1997 Ang Lee film, which is weird because, like, I don't know, like, I'm showing a 97 movie and a recent movie. Anyways, that's a suburban in Connecticut in 1973. Middle-class families experimenting with casual sex for substance abuse find their lives beyond their control. So these matinees you take your family to, like, oh, here's Frozen, and then here's a sex thriller.
Yes, a depressing mumblecore film about infidelity and drug abuse.
You got some heavy hitters, though. You got Kevin Kline, you got Joan Allen, you got Sigourney Weaver, you got Toby Maguire, Christina Ricci, Elijah Wood. Yeah. Even a young Katie Holmes is in this movie, Steve.
Wow.
I never saw it. Directed by Ang Lee.
Yeah, I didn't see it either.
I have no plans tonight. Just letting you know.
Oh, do you want to go watch it?
Yeah.
Cool.
We'll watch all of Ang Lee's films.
Ooh, from The Hulk to...
Brokeback?
Yeah.
That's the only ones I can think of at the top of my head. And Ice Palace. Or Ice... But Ice Storm.
The one thing that I'll always remember about Ang Lee is he replaced Spike in Crossword Clues.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it used to be Director Lee, and it'd be five letters, and you're like, oh, Spike. But now, it's Ang.
So the hounds continue to attack the partygoers as a broken steam pipe causes choir to let out a harmonized scream of agony. And Marsh tells Homer it's time to go as he enjoys Duff and stuffs his pants with shrimp and his pockets both with tartar and cocktail sauce. And then sirens blare and Marge angrily pulls Homer inside their Uber. And inside, the couple discuss the events of the evening.
I don't know what happened.
What happened is what happens every time. You got drunk and you made a fool of yourself. I don't want you coming home until I know you've changed. Good night.
Aren't you gonna get out?
No, just drive me around in circles, please.
Oh, sorry. You have to order an Uber Sad for that. Prices are always surging at Christmas.
You know, it's so funny. I know this episode is only 6 years into the past, mm-hmm. but every time like the Simpsons go to the past, I'm like, that seems too new to be in this. I'm like, Uber, that wasn't around 6 years ago, but yeah, it was.
Yeah, it totally was.
It just seems new to me. I don't know. Everything yeah, seems new.
It's weird. Like, yeah, the kids are on their tablets in it, and yeah, it all feels like it should be old, but also not that much has changed technology wise in the past 6 years. I mean, the world's gotten a lot worse, but
yeah, I blame Steve Jobs for dying. That's why things seem to be the same. I think if he was still alive, I think we would have saw different innovation from Apple rather than, like, you know, what's going on right now with it.
Yeah, because he would have saw somebody else's good idea and stole it.
Yeah. I don't think he would have wanted the Apple Watch.
I don't know. They're pretty nice.
All right. Hot shot. What time is it right now?
6:14.
There's no 6:14.
Stupid watch. So this isn't really a blunder, but according to the internet, Homer could have told Marge then that somebody had put in booze in his drink that messed up the party, but it wouldn't have mattered because that's what happened in the Soulmate episode from season 8.
Yeah.
Where he goes on a crazy coyote binge because he ate that hot pepper. So, you know, he wouldn't believe it.
No. And also, if that was the case and Homer tasted the booze, he should have been responsible and say, hey, there's booze in this. I better not drink it.
Yeah.
He promised Marge not to.
He could have called everybody's parents and they could have gone home.
And as a alcoholic, I know what booze in a soda tastes like. So the old going to the movie theater and putting hard alcohol in a Coke.
Mm-hmm.
Not good.
No.
But it gets the job done.
Sure.
Do you remember? Never mind. Let's not bring that up.
Part of it.
Steve and I went to the theater once and we both had like a fifth of vodka. And we think we, between the move or the movie, we finished one together.
Yeah.
In like 2 hours.
Yeah. I don't remember a lot.
Yeah. I ended up barfing on the max and then snoring real loud in your tiny.
In our studio apartment.
Apartment. Yeah.
Making life Laura probably the angriest I've ever seen her.
That's what happens when you drink.
Yeah, so get high instead.
That's right.
So Homer takes to the snowy street, wondering where to go for the evening. At first, he tries the bowling alley, where he's using a ball as his pillow, comforting his fingers in the ball's holes.
Can we isolate Steve saying balls holes? Thanks.
Balls holes. He's then awakened by a manager who tells Homer that he has to either bowl or go home. So next he tries the skating rink, where he sadly sleeps on the ice while standing. And a man from the rink tells that Homer has to skate or go home. So finally, Homer tries to sleep on the field of Isotope Stadium, but he is stopped by a security guard who tells him to go home or go home.
So out of ideas, Homer goes to the First Church of Springfield, who he feels should offer sanctuary. Reverend Lovejoy bargains with Homer. If he can name one Bible verse, he'll be allowed in.
There once was a man from Judea who said to my wife, if I pay you...
And no.
Please, I have nowhere to go.
Well, there is one person that takes the homeless, lost dogs, even grocery bags carried off by the wind.
Oh, I don't know how to put this.
Come on in, my brother. You too.
Flanders welcomes both Homer and the co-star of American Beauty, that plastic bag, as our second act begins. But while Ned is beyond generous, his pregnant wife, Maude, is less than welcoming. She calls Homer a sinkhole who loves French fries. And Ned reminds his wife that Jesus would told us to love thy neighbor, though he never seemed to live next to anyone. Maude pleads with her husband as she's due any day now. But when Ned looks into Homer's eyes, he sees Jesus. Of course, when Ned looks at anything, he sees Jesus. Even as Maude continues to talk, the face of Jesus appears over her own.
Mom, Jesus.
I could just see us getting the Maude with a beard as a tattoo.
Yep.
And then post it on.
That was definitely a contender for me.
And put it on Shitty Simpsons, or send it to Shitty Simpsons Tattoos on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
No. It's great to have Maude back, right?
Yeah.
So anyway.
She's alive. Not dead yet.
For now. Yeah. So Ned takes Homer to his son of man cave and explains that the Wi-Fi password is sinners burn in hell. So the second S is a dollar sign. The first L is a one and the E in sinner is a three, but the E in hell is for eternity. So Homer, unable to remember all this, chooses to use his data plan like an animal.
Wow. I feel like everybody offers unlimited now anyway. So there is something that's changed.
Yeah.
Or maybe I just got a better plan. I don't know. So while Ned is speaking, we get a glimpse inside his sanctuary, complete with two taps offering both water and holy water, a church parking only sign, four TVs showing packed mega churches, a poster of the Fearsome Foursome, which happened to be Mark, Luke, Paul, and John, all slam dunking a basketball, and there's even a framed jersey of number three, the Holy Trinity. So the night goes on, and Maude is stirred from her sleep by a noise downstairs. In the kitchen, Maude finds Homer, and while back at home, Marge wonders about her husband.
You ate the Christmas ham, and it wasn't even cooked.
Wait, you were saving that?
It was still in the plastic.
That was plastic? Uh-oh.
I know it's tough, Marge, but you're doing the right thing, just like I raised him. Punish, punish, punish. And after it's much too late, love.
It's not just this one thing. It's a pattern of constant disappointment. You must see it. You live with us temporarily.
What do you mean, temporarily?
Nothing. Have a good night.
Steve, we like to try foods here on the podcast that the Simpsons are eating. So if you open that bag, I sent you a raw ham with plastic. So eat the plastic raw ham.
Sorry, for those of you who have misophonia.
Misophonia. Thanks, Jar Jar.
Misa hears sounds when you eat. It makes me want to vomit.
I said, thanks, salty. Jar Jar.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Bye, Jar Jar.
Bye-bye. Misa wrongly maligned.
Shut up. But that's gross. But
It is. Yeah. It's raw ham with plastic.
You know, this is going to sound stupid, but I don't think I've ever seen raw ham. Now, I know.
No. I know what you're saying.
Because it's always cooked, because it's always, you know, like the spiral hams or things like that.
Yeah.
Raw ham. I know I'm ignorant, but because it's just what comes from the butt.
Yeah.
Or but it's like cooked or smoked, you know.
Yeah, it's usually processed. I mean, that's what makes a ham.
Yeah, a ham. It's like the leg or the...
Yeah, but I know what you mean. Like hams, anytime we've purchased a ham, you cook it because otherwise you'd have to like smoke it or do whatever
you
do to make it hammy.
So really you just had like pork chops and, you know, and bacon.
You know, one ham I'd like to get my mouth around, John Ham.
You want to eat him? Who, your Army Hammer?
No, he makes one man less than mad as he's well endowed.
Okay, well, so we open a drawer, Steve.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, we don't. Marge does because she was talking to Grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
And we see flyers for a retirement home, such as...
The Springfield Retirement Castle.
1 foot in the grave retirement home.
That's where Beck retired. And leave them till you grieve them, retirement palace.
So back at the Flanders Homer tosses and turns on an air mattress, and there's a neon cross light that hums, and he decides that he can't take any more of his locale when he sees a sign.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a sign for pie. Actually, it's a sign for a piety.
Huh.
And it shows the crown of thorns worn by Jesus. Even Homer's peripheral vision is betraying him. So Homer then looks around for more to see a statue of a monk flogging himself with a cat o' nine tails. And then this horrible painting of hell. Is that is that hell painting a reference to something? Or
it is.
Because isn't there like a famous painting?
I want to say Bosch.
Oh, the show on Amazon Prime.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hieronymus Bosch. Hell, the Garden of Earthly Delights.
A demon from the Bosch painting comes to life and hops on Homer's shoulder.
Angel,
So, wife threw you out, eh?
Yeah.
We've got a nice warm bed for you in the Lake of Eternal Flame.
A house by the lake? I could get some writing done.
In the lake.
Oh, thank God. Any excuse not to write.
Kill me.
Hey, kids. Especially the little ones. Here's an all-new Itchy and Scratchy. Parental discretion advised. But if they were around, you wouldn't be watching.
Earlier in the clip, I liked the joke about Homer. I'm like, finally, I can write. And he's like, whew, an excuse not to write. I don't know how many times I've like done dishes or vacuumed because I was avoiding doing notes for this show.
Four.
Yeah, you're right. That's exactly right. Four times. Also, we get a glimpse of little young Maggie, or not like Maggie, but Lisa and Bart. They're cute.
Yeah, and so, little young Itchy and Scratchy.
That's right. And their cartoon begins with the duo in a swamp riding a fan boat. Crocodile eats Scratchy in a single bite, so Itchy throws the amphibian through the boat's fan, turning him into boots, a belt, and even a handbag. The mouse opens up the purse to hear the screams of his feline friend slash enemy. And speaking of screams, this cartoon causes a young Bart and Lisa, as we just mentioned, to scream in horror. Mar rushes in to comfort her children.
Where's Daddy?
He won't be back for a while.
It's okay. I love Bart. I love Bart. I love Bart. I love Bart.
And I love Lisa.
I love you.
Oh, that's wonderful. We can still have a nice Christmas, even without you.
Oh, Daddy's back. Daddy's back. Look at that hat. He must be a millionaire.
Okay, it's time to go to bed. We'll have fun tomorrow.
How adorable was it when Bart and Lisa saying, I love each other. They love each other. Like, there's no hate yet. There's no, they're best friends right now.
That's really cute.
They don't understand what happened. And then I love Bart, like, oh, he must be a millionaire. Because of the hat. And then, you know, the head falls off. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was a fun clip. I like that one.
I love when children are horrified by seeing their parents decapitated. It's my favorite trope.
Yep, and you only get it twice in life if you're lucky.
So the crows peck up the eyes of the beheaded Homer snowman, and the children continue to scream in horror because, you know, that was probably their dad.
Yeah. So the next day, Marge and the children head to Springfield Mall, where Chatty Elves are not affiliated with the mall itself. And inside, Marge tells Bart and Lisa that they can have a wonderful holiday, even without their father. They then run into good old Gil, who is begging them to give, as he's about to be the first person to be dishonorably discharged from the Salvation Army. That tired joke is then proven true as a higher-ranking official takes off the belt, a hat, candy cane, and unfortunate real beard from Gil.
Now, the dishonorably discharged from the Salvation Army, you say, was a tired joke, and I understand. Mm-hmm. But remember, I had the joke of we never really made the punchline or the setup, but it was essentially like, I'm a member of the Salvation Army, I'm the sniper.
That's a better joke, though. It's a reconstruction of it.
Yeah. They just think of the sniper, the bomb diffuser. Yeah, I think
the right. I think sniper is funny. Why would that need a...
Right. All right. Well, inside the... also, the real beard from Gil being ripped off. That hurt my beard.
Yeah, that would imagine.
So inside the shop, Lisa's perusing recently canceled author, Dr. Seuss's One Fish, Two Fish, No More Fish, Racist Fish. I added that last part in there, but it's of course a parody of One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish. Hey, also referenced in the episode One Fish, Two Fish, Blowfish, Blue Fish from The Simpsons.
That's right.
Anyways, meanwhile, little Bart, when he has what, like six spikes on his hair, not nine.
Yeah.
I didn't count the spikes, but they're smaller. He asked if he could get some baseball mitts to play with him and his daddy. Oh, I'm not supposed to say daddy. But his mom, Marge, isn't sure if daddy will be back for Christmas. Just then, fan favorite employee pops in.
Ooh, I smell marital problems. A salesman's dream. A little boy. If she doesn't buy it, she doesn't love you.
Really? And do you have a happy home life?
Why, yeah, no.
Poor fella, I know it'll cheer him up. Homer, would you like to say grace?
I'd rather just eat.
No grace? Then I'm gonna let my hair grow natural.
Homer, please, honor the Lord until we're all bored.
Dear God, how you doing?
I know your son's birthday's coming up. Oh, with his mother, you say? Oh, that's too bad.
Now, Homer, in this house, grace is personal, pious, and at least 500 words.
Fine. Thank you, O Lord, for my wonderful home, which I am not in, and my beautiful family, which I can't see. I mean, Flanders is great and all, but even you must think he's kind of a jackass.
What's a jackass?
That's a silly person, Roddy.
Daddy, you're a jackass.
Jeez, the mouth on that kid.
Steve, you're a jackass.
Oh, I am a jackass, because I am a silly person.
And your name is Steve. Oh, right. Jackass.
Yes, and you're Johnny Knoxville. Now, let me staple your nuts to a skateboard that's on fire.
Your nuts in my face.
I like seeing the stroke guy. He's not Julian Casablanca, but that guy. It's clear that Dan has a lot of fun with that voice.
Yes.
I also like when he's like, yeah, no. He has a name, right?
I think so.
If I type in stroke man on Google, I get different results.
A lot of purple links.
Yeah. Well, I get it. I get it. Because purple means you visited.
Yeah. A yes guy or yes guy. Frank Nelson type.
I feel like we already looked this up before.
I think that we have.
Yeah. All right. Well,
but Homer's prayer was the last straw for Maude, who tells Ned that Homer has to go. But Ned can't kick somebody out right before Christmas. And Maude apologizes, claiming that she forgot her Christian values. She then asks Ned to fetch Homer some candy. And then once her husband is out of earshot, Maude tells Homer to get the hell out. Homer sadly leaves, but pops his hand in through a window to grab a piece of that candy before he leaves.
So Homer once again takes to the lonely, snowy streets of Springfield, where he laments that he he has no luck. As he walks some icy stalagmites, they fall behind him, but they never hit him. And Homer steps into everyone's favorite bar, Moe's, and asks the surly barkeeper to serve him drinks until he passes out underneath the table. Oh, also there's tables in the tavern.
Yeah.
He notices. There's always been tables, hasn't there? Yeah, there always has been.
I think there has been. Maybe like not in the very early, but yeah.
Right. If you're looking at the booth he's sitting at,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is a blunder. It has to be. It says Dr. Marvin Monroe Memorial Booth. Shouldn't he still be alive in this timeline?
You're right, because they went to therapy with Maggie and she would electrocute everybody in that season one episode.
Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
Unless, maybe Mo just, you could dedicate a memorial. No, you can't, because you memorial something. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe the plaque company that makes the plaque for the memorial benches is like the news. Where they just print.
Fake?
Yes, it's fake news. And they also print plaques of everybody in Springfield so that when they die, it's ready to go.
Huh. I don't think that's true.
Yeah, you're probably not. You're probably right.
I'm probably not.
You're probably wrong.
I am.
Feeling bad for his friend and customer, Mo offers to take Homer on a walk. And in the next booth over, a pair of eyes open, and Barney, disguised as the seat of a booth, removes his mask and heads to the unattended beer tap, where he can enjoy a free brewski.
I didn't understand that.
Well, if Homer and Marge, Homer and Mo.
No, I don't get it. Like, why was that a reference to like something? I don't understand why Barney was painted. I don't get it.
I think he just wanted free beer, so he camouflaged himself. But yeah, I don't know. It doesn't really make sense. And honestly, yeah, once Mo left, he could just have all the free beer he wants.
Right?
You're right. I hadn't thought about that.
Mo was just going to be like Barney. Like, he would have just kept Barney there and just left. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe because, this is 6 years in the past and Barney figures out in the future, like, I just don't have to do anything. Like, these crazy tricks.
Or this is probably not canonically correct either, but maybe it was when Barney was quote-unquote sober.
I also thought, what was the booth reference, even though they have had tables, like, was it like, and that's why Mo got rid of the booths, because Barney painted himself? I don't know.
Yeah, timelines are so confusing now.
Why can't we just go back to when Homer was in high school in the 70s?
Mm-hmm.
Grandpa fought in World War II. Now he probably would have fought, Vietnam?
Yeah. In a couple of years of, Grandpa fought in Desert Storm.
Right. Oh, there's, in 5 years, there's going to be an episode where there's a flashback to Abe in Desert Storm. And I feel like they might have already done it.
Yeah.
Although, have they actually done him in Vietnam?
I don't think so.
Because he'd have to be, yeah. What's going to happen when, Abe is like us?
I know. I was just thinking about that. Like, we are now at Homer's age.
So
sometimes surpassed it. And, yeah, so Grandpa's next.
All right. Well, So Mo and Homer go to the old 742 Evergreen Terrace address, which I believe is the Simpsons house.
I think you're right.
Homer sees a silhouette of his family in the next room, and then a silhouette of his beloved TV. He just wishes there was a way you could be inside. Mo offers a solution.
Well, actually, there is a way.
What are you talking about?
There's a tiny little room above your garage that you've never noticed. Until Marge forgives you, you can hide out in there.
Have you ever stayed up there?
I haven't, but I did rent it out to a nice Irish family. Oh, Ma, this is the best place we've ever lived.
We only have to clean Moe's bar for 7 years, and then we get our passports back.
You know my favorite part of that scene was?
What's that?
The Irish music at the end.
Yeah.
Very lovely.
It was. I also like that weird sound effect that happened when Mo presented the room. The weird bell.
So I always just assumed that that window above the garage was just like a window. Like there was nothing. If anything, there is like just like little wood planks.
Mm-hmm.
Took 700 episodes to introduce a new room to the Simpsons house.
Yeah, that's what this is. It's now canon.
Now, Steve, they got to fix the Lego set.
They should send us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 minifigs of Irish people.
Right. Also, the smaller borrowers people in the vent later.
That's true. Yeah.
So the teary-eyed Homer sneaks into the garage and up the ladder and into his newfound room. Inside, he hears Lisa praying, asking God to bless Bart, Mommy, Santa, and for Santa to bless God. And then especially for God to bless her daddy. Oh, I keep saying daddy. Next, Homer hears Bart, who asks God for a different father, which I was like, that's the Bart I know.
Yeah.
But Homer, that doesn't faze Homer because he's crying, not because of that, but knowing that he's actually home.
That's right. And our third act begins on Christmas Eve at Homer's hideaway 6 years ago. As he watches a fireplace on an old tube TV, Homer decorates a tree that is too large for his tiny room. Homer saws a hole to let the tree stand erect, and then make some hot cocoa using a Bic lighter and some snow falling in place of the marshmallows. He then sits in a cozy spot to watch his tablet when he is distracted by a piece of cheese. His hand is then slammed by a mousetrap, then another piece of cheese, and another mousetrap. He then sees a rat trap and is disappointed to find that there's cheese attached to it. It's another kind of tired joke, maybe.
I was just thinking that. Also, I know it's only 6 years, but I think he has a tablet. This is too futuristic.
I know.
But again, tablets what came out like almost probably 10 years ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
When I say 10 years ago, what do you think in your mind?
Oh, 2000.
Yeah, I was going to say. And 20 years ago is like 1995, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, wait, no, let me think. When I think 30 years ago, I think 1977.
Yeah, and you say 20 years ago, I think 1987.
There we go, that, yeah.
Time is weird.
It really is the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
And you can't even see it.
And I've seen a blue car.
Whoa.
Yeah. So Homer's relieved that he hasn't seen any spiders. And then he lowers his head and we see they're just covered with spiders. Really fat spiders with short legs. I don't know if they're actually spiders, Steve.
Yeah.
They looked weird. Anyways, but it's not hair, Steve. They're just spiders.
Spiders.
Oh, he finds out by the spiders are crawling all over his face. So then he grabs a can of a bug killer and sprays it directly into his face in that over poorly ventilated room. But then just then, Homer receives two calls, one from Lenny, you know, who's kind of a jerk and instigated this whole, or his fault this all happened, by mm-hmm. the way. And then the other one is a wake up variety.
Hmm. So Homer has previously sprayed spider poison on his face in Mobile Homer.
He loves that poisons.
That's right.
I love clips.
Hey, Lenny. Yeah, I'm doing okay.
You're living the life you always dreamed of, not being able to stand.
I'm so lonely, I made a march from insulation.
Mommy, Bart and I decided we'll give up all our toys for Christmas if Daddy can come back.
But only double on my birthday. Take it or leave it.
What's happened to you?
I'm becoming a jerk because I have no dad.
So you'll be better if he comes back?
Maybe not, but you won't get all the blame.
I want him back, too.
Yay!
I want him back, but I need your father to do one great thing. One thing to show that all the nonsense I put up with has a point. Now we're going to go to Midnight Mass without your father.
Oh, missing church. This is the saddest I've ever been happy.
This is the saddest I've ever been happy. I like that line.
It's a good line. I think it's fun.
In that clip, we get a tour of that the vent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we see a mouse sniffing around, then a lost quarter. I couldn't pause it in time. Like, I don't know if it was like a rare, expensive coin, which probably was. It's probably referenced to something.
Yeah, probably.
Then we have a book, How to Get Your Baby Off a Pacifier, which is interesting because I'm like, oh, that's a Maggie reference. So Maggie crawled up there to hide the book. But then I realized Maggie's not born yet.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. I can see like Maggie hiding that because she could crawl an event, but Maggie's not born. Unless, because Bart and Lisa aren't using pacifiers. So I don't know.
No, I don't know. Maybe Lisa, when she was a child, had a hard time not sucking things.
Yeah. She's the biggest suck that's ever sucked. there's another book, which is How to Clean Your Vents. And then we see the little family from the book, The Borrowers, which is a children's book from 1952, written by English author Mary Norton.
Yeah, Norton.
Steve, do you ever read The Borrowers or seen the movie The Borrowers?
I think I've seen the movie. And I don't know if I think I read it when I was a child.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't know it was a reference until Heather pointed it out. We'll be reviewing The Borrowers next week.
Yes.
I have Springfield.
If only somebody would loan us the book.
That's, oh, yeah.
Because we can borrow it.
I get it. From the library.
Library, yes.
Library. So, yeah, the Borrowers family, they're sitting on various tiny little items like a die and a thimble and enjoying a little roast served in a bottle cap or in some. The vet adventure continues and says Bitcoin password do not lose, which $333.75 was how much one Bitcoin was worth in 2015. So if Homer just had like one, now one Bitcoin is worth like
$55,302.
Let's say Homer, this 2015, maybe he bought one at, let's say he bought it at $200.
Mm-hmm.
So what's that? Let's just say 55,000. So just one Bitcoin, Homer would have like a little over $11 million right now.
Yeah.
So after the Bitcoin password, we finally get to see the family sitting in the living room.
So Homer takes a moment to think. One thing, one gesture. He's got it. All Homer has to do is do the one thing that Christmas is all about, making cookies. He then imagines the scenario. His family walking to the house to find him with freshly baked treats. The kids enjoy the cookies while Marge is proud that Homer ate most, but not all, of the baked goods.
That's what Christmas is about, cookies. Yeah. I want a cookie right now. Mm. Reality proves to be a bit harsher, however, as Homer's attempt to bake results in the kitchen of flames. I'm assuming the sink probably helped with that too. Not just
it's true. Normal,
right?
Yeah.
But he puts out the fire. And Homer is sad. No forgiveness, no cookies. And he's even burned down those really good drapes. So guess they'll just have to buy corn cob ones.
I mean, there's the origin. Buy the same ones that you had. But
origin story for corn cob has been canonized. But Homer needs a miracle. But those are never happening during Christmas. If only the pregnant woman next door wasn't making all that racket. Homer could think that just then his first idea ever forms.
You could deliver the baby. Wait, who are you? I'm your brain. How come I haven't heard from you before? Your stomach gets all the blood. You shut up about that. I know where you live.
Oh, the baby's coming. Oh, where's your father?
He's delivering Christmas turkeys to the poor.
That selfish jerk.
Did somebody order an unlikely hero? Maud, let's get you to the hospital.
Oh, no, it's too late.
Then I'll deliver this baby myself.
How are you gonna do that?
The same way I learned what the top 10 bass solos through history are. Through YouTube.
Again, I think YouTube. That's so recent. Nope.
But I thought they called it MyTube.
Right.
Yeah.
It's always weird, like the Simpsons do, like they'll name a product, but then show the parody of the product.
Yeah.
Much like the Simpsons movie with Rainier Wharfcastle being a parody of Arnold Schwarzenegger, yet they have Arnold Schwarzenegger in the movie.
Yeah. It's confusing.
The Simpsons timeline is the most confusing timeline next to the Doctor Who timeline?
Yeah.
Sure.
Or Arrested Development.
Or General Hospital.
Well, at least, that's more so than specific hospital.
Yeah.
That timeline's pretty straightforward.
When's General Hospital going to be promoted to, like, you know, 5-star General Hospital?
Did you serve under General Hospital in the Salvation Army?
Yeah. It was the sniper.
And scene. So as a bass solo of The Who's My Generation plays, Homer takes to his laptop watching the video unboxing a baby, which is kind of gross when you think about it, the word box. But as is always the case, there is an ad first. This one is for the masterclass How to Be a Sidekick with Sideshow Mel. The boneheaded thespian speaks to a rap class about a monkey trying to eat his face while Homer clicks skip ad. So Homer continues to watch as the instructional video wraps up with the couple in it being calm and peaceful. However, in reality, the mother-to-be is less than gleeful.
Ugh, shut up! You know nothing! I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get angry.
That's okay.
Of course it's okay! Could you do me a favor?
Anything.
Pretend to be Ned?
Oops. Okay. Early diddly. A new clown in that baby's crowning. You're almost out of labor, neighbor.
No, no. The real Ned.
I'm a left-handed weirdo with a cop mustache.
No. I mean the quiet, wonderful man I married.
All right. To help you deliver this baby, I'll make the ultimate sacrifice. I'll act like a weenie. Lord, I know I'll love heaven because you made one for me on Earth. Let's bring another angel into this world. Perfectly normal. 8 fingers and 8 toes.
Oh.
How long have you been here?
Long enough to see the man I married is heroic and wise and capable and brave and...
Give me my baby!
I guess it is mostly yours here.
It's almost like a Jesus birth.
Yeah, truly is a manger thing. Although there is no manger, but yeah.
What'd you think of the Homer continuing his Mo impersonations? It's interesting.
Yeah.
Flanders impersonations.
Yeah, no. I thought it was fun. I like the cop mustache and no clown in this baby's a crowning. That was a fun turn of phrase.
I just thought it was fun.
Yeah.
I feel like Todd doesn't look like Todd. I know he's a baby, but kind of doesn't look like him.
Yeah, it doesn't really sound like him either.
No.
It's weird.
I demand my money back.
Also, I haven't heard Maud in a while, and she also doesn't sound right.
Been a while since she's trying to get that voice. Well, you know, everyone's sounds weird now, so.
Yeah, I mean.
But that's age, so.
Sure.
Even Burns sounded weird in the beginning.
Yeah, you're right. I noticed that.
I think our actors are getting old.
Ooh, it's like the show's been on for 30 years or something.
Yeah. Marge kisses Homer, telling him he did great. And Ned returns from delivering those turkeys and apologizes to Maude. She forgives him as she was in good hands with Homer. And Homer has redeemed himself on Christmas, just like the Grinch, the diehard guy, and Scrooged.
In honor of the event of the day, Ned decides to name their son Homer. Well, the middle name anyway, to Todd Homer Flanders. We then cut to present day, where Lisa and Bart are listening to this tale, and Homer explains that circumstances are similar to why Maggie's middle name is Lenny. But that's another story for next Arbor Day.
You know, Steve,
Maggie's
middle name is actually Evelyn. Just letting you know.
So that means that Lenny's real name is Evelyn.
Is that what we uncovered?
Maybe. I'll have to wait till next Arbor Day to find out.
I'll be all wood that day. I don't know. Also, in that Homer's been seen delivering a baby who was also named after him in the episode Labor Pains.
Neat.
Yeah. Bart asks to see the secret room, but Homer wants one of Bart's secrets first. So Bart says to Homer that he should probably replace his toothbrush. Homer laughs and tells his son he should do the same. So what do you think they did with those toothbrushes, Steve?
I mean,
thoughts?
Shoved them up their ass.
And as we know and established on this podcast, Bart has a dirty asshole.
That's right.
He doesn't know how to wipe. He's got dirty ass.
So yeah, I mean, that's pretty gross.
Yeah, so like, why would Homer do that to Bart?
His son, yeah. I mean, whatever he did, it's pretty like, gross.
I'm gonna brush my hemorrhoid. I don't know why. I'm Yogi Bear, barely.
Hey, boo-boo, there's a sonic hair coming out of your butt.
All right, so we go to that secret room, Steve, where Bart is holding a flashlight to his face, and he's telling the spooky tale of Todd's birth to the Flanders kids.
And I found out something else about the day you were born.
What?
You were born with a full set of teeth, and here they are.
Where are my dentures? I got a hot date tonight, and I want to show off by eating chicken. What am I doing up there?
It's fun to show off by eating some poultry. Look what I can do.
And that is kind of impressive. You know, sometimes you'll get some of the stringy meat strings of meat between your teeth.
That's really gross.
Like from like a chicken wing or something.
Yeah, when you're eating like a chicken tender and there's just that like the vein.
Vein. Ugh. It's fun to see Abe on a date though with an unnamed new caricature woman. I think I'd like to know who this lady is.
Yeah, that's an episode I'd watch.
Well, guess what, Steve?
Huh?
You have to write it first.
Alrighty, I'll get to work.
Maybe they just haven't cast the... I'm looking at her. I wonder if they should cast... it'd be really funny is if they cast Glenn Close.
He's already played Mona.
But a different character, yeah.
Yeah.
Abe would have a type.
That's
maybe
right
it's her. Maybe it's her sister, Moana. Moana Lisa.
I could see that. That could be fun.
Yeah. There's no canon not saying that Mona has... We don't really know her family.
Yeah, we could dive deep into whatever she grew up in.
Right. And then, like, she just now found out... Because, you know, she was, like, estranged from Mona and just found out her sister died. And then, yeah, and then she meets Abe and the Simpson family. And the, you know, there we go. I figured it out. There's the episode.
Yeah, you got it. I don't have to do anything.
Yeah. Computer, make script. Is that how that works?
Yes, it's processing now.
Okay, thank you.
So credits roll. And here's a fun fact that I recently learned from somewhere else.
The internet?
When the text is yellow, there's no post-credit screen. But when it's white, as it is here, there is a little something extra. So we get a bonus scene where Marge and Homer sneak into the secret room to make out and presumably fuck. When Marge asks if the kids will hear, Mo, who's hiding in a corner, ensures them that their room is soundproof. Although it's not because they can hear other rooms, but who cares?
I care.
And then they should continue with their lovemaking activities with him watching in the corner, presumably masturbating. And finally, we get to see some Christmas cards from various Springfieldians, such as...
We have a Merry Christmas from the Van Houtens and Kirk.
Professor Frink in an ornament in front of several Bitcoin logos with text that says, "Your password is password. Merry Christmas."
Another joke that needs to go away is the "your password is password" type of joke.
Absolutely.
We get Dr. Hibbert's card, which features him holding a clipboard and saying, "Enjoy today. We'll talk about test results tomorrow."
Homer presenting a gift that and a text that reads, "Happy birthday, Jeebus."
Oh, well, that's a good callback.
Mm-hmm.
Homer referring to Jesus as Jeebus. We get a card from Principal Skinner. I know this is probably a fan favorite. Maybe this is pandering to us fans.
I felt like it kind of was a little bit, but I'll allow it.
Right. So it's Skinner and offering Super Nintendo Chalmers some Krusty Burgers, probably disguising them for his own home cooking with the words, "Enjoy your steamed hams," above the scene there.
Yep. And next we have a card that says, "Just what you always wanted." And it shows Sideshow Bob looking on at a Bart-shaped package that he can't wait to rip into.
So does that mean Bart's dead or?
Presume, or maybe just like,
maybe
he could just be unconscious.
I'm thinking maybe it's Cecil, like, made one in woodshop at the prison.
Sure, yeah.
Statue. Is there, you know how they have like crafting stuff in prisons.
Yeah, you can learn how to...
from movies I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
There, that's what I think it is.
I like it, yeah.
We get another one of little drummer boy Ralph, but the drumsticks are up his nose and with a text that reads, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum.
Yep. Next, we have the crazy cat lady wishing you a meowy Christmas as numerous felines surround Christmas in her overpacked hoarder of a home.
We have groundskeeper Willie holding three garden tools as the card reads, ho-ho-ho, spelled, you know, the tool, ho.
Yeah. And finally, Nelson opening a package with the text, "Sleeves for my vest." And that's our episode.
Is that canon now? Is Nelson going to be wearing sleeves?
I hope not. I like his look. It's classic bad boy.
Clash of Castles.
All right. Well, Steve, let's take a break and then come back and wrap it up.
All righty. Sounds like a plan. We'll be right back. Alrighty, Craig, we're back. Let's talk about Major Things a bit more. We'll talk about our favorite visual gags, our favorite quotes, or an MBJ, and we'll talk about our thoughts, and then we'll find out what we're watching next week. What do you say?
I'll have to get back to you next week.
Alrighty, I'll be here waiting.
Okay, I'm back.
All right. Whew, what a week.
Have you just been sitting here on Zoom the whole time?
Yeah, I'm smelly.
Hi, smelly.
Hi.
All right. So what do you want? What do you want from me, Steve?
Let's talk about our favorite visual gags from this episode.
It seems like something you would want to talk about.
Yeah. You know me, Mr. Visual.
I mean, you got to go with the Christmas holiday cards, right?
Those are pretty good.
I wouldn't mind like enamel pins of all of those.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Perfect for the holiday season.
I guess I'll say that's my like t-shirt or product I want. But I mean, the other visual gags, I just love that they did such a good job of making everyone look younger. And it's kind of just with the use of hair and length of hair. You know,
it is impressive what they did with so little.
And just conveying all of that. You know, we already said, you know, Maude with the Jesus face is kind of a fun visual. Mm-hmm. Homer drunk and singing his Christmas carol. Homer is snowman.
Yeah, that's probably going to be mine. That one is one of my favorites. Also, you know, me being me, you got to go with the guy making out with the bear as well.
Right, which we mentioned at the beginning of the episode. Yeah. This actually was a very visually stunning episode, like just the animation altogether. This is the most recent episode, I guess, you know, just when you're watching older episodes and comparing with like what they can do with technology and animation these days.
Mm-hmm.
Just a all around very visually stunning animation.
Yeah, it's a very good looking episode.
This is what season 32 is. Sign me up.
Yeah, I can't wait till 35 when it's live action.
Hopefully they'll never go to like the Pixar animation style like most cartoons are now.
Yeah, it always looks like bad.
You know, Rugrats is coming back, mm-hmm. which was famously was done by the same studio as
Glassy Cupsco.
Yeah, which also they Simpsons and Rugrats both premiered in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
To me, doesn't that seem weird?
It does. It always feels like Rugrats is like 5 years older.
But it's not. I know. It's
or crazy. 5 years newer, rather.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, I know. So like Rugrats is coming back, but it's the animation. Like, I don't know. It was all the same voices, you know, but I don't know if I could watch it just because of the CGI.
Yeah. They're also redoing the Magic School Bus.
Oh, yeah. And the internet's upset about that.
Yeah. Because they turned Miss Frizzle, is that her name? Yeah.
Yeah.
Into like more.
A Mary Sue.
Yeah.
That's a term I've heard before.
I've never heard that term before, but I like it.
Yeah, I saw that. And also the animation looks really crappy, like flash animation. Like,
yeah, it looks like a political cartoon from about John Kerry in 2008.
Yeah, right. It doesn't look as, because I mean, yeah, they just made her looking like, I don't know, like those really crappy, like, you know, those like
I was just going to say what you're about to say, yeah.
Tap games or whatever on
right,
your phone.
Right, that are just bejeweled ripoffs.
Right. That's what
And you're supposed to save the man from the fire or the dragon or whatever. So annoying.
And you know, those games aren't actually in the game. I think they're just like Candy Crush type games because I've downloaded one. I'm like, okay, I wanted to see if I can save the man.
Right.
It's not even there.
And it never happens.
False advertising, man.
Yeah.
I'm not paying 99 cents for me to get rid of the ads on the app I'm using.
Yeah, it's the most blatant use of false advertising since The Never Ending Story.
And you successfully sued for that.
So speaking of The Simpsons.
Yeah. joke, like our favorite joke then?
Yeah, our favorite quotes.
I think the quotes one was the one that was kind of getting to me. Like, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't really take away a whole lot.
I mean, I liked when Homer was doing the grace and then talking to God. And it was like, God actually was talking to him. Like, I know your kid's birthday is coming up. And then, you know, on the other end, God's like, oh, but he's going to spend it with his mother this year. And then, like, you know, we're just everybody's like, oh, his mom, huh?
That was fun. I also like the when the devil's or the demon's talking to him and he's like, ooh, a house on the lake and get some writing done. Oh, any excuse to not have to write. That's a fun kind of dumb Homer joke. But yeah, all in all, not a lot of jokes that really made me laugh out loud.
I said visual too, also with the joke with the snowman and Bart. I thought that was great. Also, I mean, it's not funny, but we love the I love you between Bart and Lisa.
Yeah, that was cute.
You know, the opening too, like what year was it? Just like the movie no one saw, the celebrity that had to apologize.
Mm-hmm. So for MVJs, what do you think? Who is who are you taking away with this episode?
Let's say Mo.
Oh, right. Let's say, I don't know, Bill Plimpton.
Yeah. Martha Plimpton.
Yeah. She was great in whatever she was in.
At Raising Hope.
Oh, yeah. That was a good show. But no, I think the intro was really artistically stunning. Let's just get into it. Craig, what are your thoughts on the episode?
I enjoy New Simpsons just because it's new. So like this is like the first time seeing it. I think the story was cohesive. I mean, we've seen so many Homer in the Doghouse episodes and I'm not annoyed with that, but it's kind of interesting like going back to the past And like, maybe this is like Homer, like this is before like Homer's done even worse things and Marge has forgiven him. Like, this is one little thing. Like, he got drunk, not his fault. He like, it was, he could have just stopped drinking. But I think visually, like I said, it's fun to look at the past and, you know, the different animation styles, and bringing Maude back was fun. And, you know, it's the 700th episode, a Christmas episode. I like the connection between the first and the 700th. They're both Christmas. Weird choice, maybe. I don't know. But at least they didn't do... I don't think this was gimmicky. At least they didn't do, like, a gimmicky type episode with, like, 8,000 guest stars.
Right. Or, like, they were...
700 guest stars, actually.
Yeah, or, like, a parody of something, like the 700 Club.
Oh, I like that. No, I see what you're saying. Like, it just another parody of a movie, or
yeah.
I mean, I guess this is kind of, because all movies are like this. Christmas movies, I mean.
Yeah. Oh, that's the line that I liked. The how Homer redeemed himself in Christmas, like the Grinch, Die Hard guy, or Scrooged. That's my line of the night. Yeah.
Okay. Glad we retroactively fixed that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I was saying, yeah, it is an episode we've seen before. Would you? And now, I mean, I consider this a Christmas episode. And I like put it in the list of Christmas episodes, right?
Sure.
Would you watch this episode this coming Christmas?
Honestly, no. This episode for me was, I don't know, I just felt myself asking, like, why are they doing this? And I get that it's the 700th episode. It's a huge milestone that very few TV shows in general can claim, let alone animated sitcoms. Clearly, it's the one. But all in all, this episode just felt like... like a greatest hits of themes and jokes that we've seen before. And it could be that, you know, we're getting older and so this isn't new to us, but it just all felt like remolding of old Simpsons Play-Doh together to one cohesive episode. So I don't know. You're right. It is a lot of fun to look at, and they do the gags well. I like the bullet gag. I like, you know, a lot. Oh, there's a lot of fun stuff to watch, but just the overall episode felt a little unnecessary for me. And the characters felt like kind of parodies of themselves. Like Ned was kind of pointless in the episode other than being Todd's father. Maude was unusually rude. I know she's pregnant, but she's usually not that cruel. Also, the fact that Homer delivered a baby from her, like, in a few years, he's going to get drunk at a party, look down her blouse, and, you know, he's already been very intimate with her. So that's kind of raises more questions than answers. So, yeah, for me, this was a bit of a miss.
I guess I can see where you're saying, like, why was this necessary? And it's interesting, too, that they're doing another, when this episode aired, I look back into the past when the previous week's episode, spoilers.
Oh, yeah, I was going to mention that as well, yeah.
They, they did a flashback, you know, with Homer in the 90s, but it really wasn't like the whole episode was in the 90s. It was just like literally one flashback, I think, in that episode. But we're not talking about that episode. You know what? I would watch it during a Christmas if I'm watching all the Simpsons Christmases in a row. I'd put it on.
That's fair.
Maybe in like three Christmases from now.
Yeah, I mean, what I'd like to do is forget about this episode. Oh, man, a new episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah, watch it really quick and come back.
All right. Well, after watching this episode, I don't even know why. I just guess I'm myself asking why. No, but what I'd like to do is like maybe forget about this episode and then in a couple years, watch a Christmas marathon and return to it. And maybe I'll have fonder feelings.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess I'll agree with you on this. Hey, why don't we just do the obvious, Steve? Let's rank it out of 700.
All righty.
I'll give it 666.
Oh, that's a very good score.
Yeah, well, it'd be like 90%.
Yeah, that's...
or like 95-ish Finkels?
It's 95-ish Finkel.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. It's, yeah.
So
it's 85%.
How about a 420?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go a little bit lower. I'm going to go 369.
Fine, I'll go 13.
Oh.
Or no, I'll give it my favorite passage of the Bible. I think it's Jefferson 80. Yeah, that one.
Great. Good old Jefferson.
I think you're right. I think if you're looking for something like that's the 700 episode, were you expecting something amazing to happen, Steve?
No, because I don't feel like there was a lot of buildup for the 700th episode. Just yeah, because like they're every couple of weeks they're reaching a new milestone. So
I think next
that's week, fine.
The 701st episode.
I think you might be right. I'll have to check my notes, but
yeah. All right. Well, I guess we're saying give it a pass.
Yeah.
But
here's one good thing that I will say about the episode is I happen to know that this episode was recorded last year during COVID times. and you wouldn't even notice that. So that's something.
All right. Well, should be fine on what we're watching next week.
Listfully, yes. And to do that, we're going to need that good old Wheel of Random. Let's give it a spin to see what season we're in. Boop.
We have season 11.
Season 11. Woo. Alrighty, let's give that wheel another spin to find out which episode we're watching. Boop.
Episode 5.
Season 11, episode 5. Why, that's E-I-E-I Annoyed Grunt. Craig, as if I didn't know, what happens in that?
The Simpsons.
I've heard of them.
Go to the old Simpson family farm in the country. Because Homer cowards out of a pistol duel with the Texan guy, right? Rich Texan?
Or yeah.
Someone else, I forget. This is Tamako.
Tamako. Yes, this is a classic episode. Probably one of my favorites from this season.
Yeah, I remember this episode fondly. It's one I think I go back to.
Mm-hmm.
I am really looking forward to watching this. What if we hate it now?
I know, like, I'm a little worried because we've had some stinkers in recent episodes. And yeah, this is one that I've been really looking forward to for a long time. So I hope it holds up.
This was the 231st episode of The Simpsons, Steve. We just did the 700th episode. All right. Written by Ian Maxtone Graham, directed by Bob Anderson. So
yeah,
looking forward to that again. All right. Well, hey, Steve, do me a favor.
Okay.
And tell the listeners to go to our TeePublic site, which is teepublic.com/user/annoyedgruntboys for some merch. And also tell our listeners to contact us on social media at 138Simpsons with Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Hey, listeners, do those things. And Craig, if you could return the favor and tell our listeners to email us at 138Simpsons@gmail.com. And also, if they're so kind, to go to their favorite podcatching app and leave 5 stars or the equivalent thereof. And if they're so kind as well, to leave a review. But it needn't be a real review. They can just write gibberish, ASDFQ if they want. They can ask us a question, or they can tell us how they were born. Videos highly encouraged.
All right, for this week, I've been half-annoyed grunt boy, Craig.
And I've been your other half-annoyed grunt boy, Steve.
And remember, keep reaching for the skis.
No clowning, that baby's a crowning.
You know nothing.